This week on the Warp World Podcast, we share our favorite Christmas stories from our past. Welcome, everybody, to the Warp World Podcast. This is episode 23, your Christmas edition episode. I am Grand Pooh Bear. Joining me this week and every week, we got X-Water and Jakku. How are you doing here today, gentlemen?
I'm doing great. You know, they say third time's the charm.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. We recorded this intro three times, so a little bit embarrassed about that. X-Water.
I've been trying to drop this whole Christmas crack thing three times now, and I'm just going to jump right into it. I made Christmas crack. Deal with it. I'm from the mean streets of Canada.
What is Christmas crack? I mean, we have to ask.
It's actually super delicious. You put a bunch of crackers down. You melt butterscotch on top of it, and you melt some chocolate, and then you freeze it, crack it up, bash it up, and you got Christmas crack.
That actually does sound kind of awesome, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah, that's a lot better than what I thought it was going to be. Like, I knew it was something to do with food in some sort of case, but that actually sounds really good.
Yeah.
I imagined him and his brother getting an RV together.
Thinking Christmas crack?
Yeah.
I can see that, yeah.
Breaking Bad up north.
I mean, RVs typically have one shower, so they'd be fine.
Not enough, man. Gonna have to custom build an extra one in there.
Anyway, this is the Christmas episode. First of all, we want to wish you and anybody listening here a happy holidays, a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever it is you celebrate or not celebrating. We just want you to have a good time this week. But we decided this would be an awesome episode to kind of ignore the popular gaming news right now, ignore what's going on at Twitch, and just kind of share some of our favorite Christmas gaming stories. So do one of you guys want to start us off with your favorite one? I got a couple too. Okay, so we'll rotate through then.
I'll go with a quick one to start us off. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So flashback to, I think, a Christmas or two after the GameCube first came out. I'm 25 right now. So that was like when I was, I don't know, somewhere around like 10 to 13. So I was still pretty young, man. And I remember that we got our GameCube and we got Smash Bros. Melee and two controllers on the same Christmas. And we just went nuts. All Christmas break, me and my brother played so much Melee, our eyes pretty much fell out, man. That game was like the best Christmas present I think I've ever had.
Melee was such an incredible game for a launch title too. And like,
yeah,
spent so much time with friends and family on that one for sure.
I think it might be one of my most played games of like all time.
Oh yeah, easily. Yeah. One of my most memorable Christmases, I guess, is early 90s. I was a Nintendo kid for the most part, but for some reason we got a Genesis and a Sega CD one Christmas.
Ooh.
And I'm like, holy crap, that's huge. Like, getting a Genesis was great, but getting a Sega CD as well, that was just like icing on the cake. And I think I remember I opened up the Sega CD first and me being like, we don't have a Sega. And then my brother opened up a Genesis, and I'm like, oh, well, there you go.
Did my dad pull that on me once? He got me Mario 64 without the N64.
Right. Yeah. Well, so they took it even further. They rented a whole bunch of Sega CD games.
Because
our local rental place had a bunch of them, but no one was renting because almost no one in the city had that. And so we had like 8 games wrapped up, and we thought all these games were ours. But they just rented them for 2 weeks.
That's so funny. Yeah. How long until they told you, though? Was it day one?
Immediately after.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, yeah, those are rentals. We're like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Part of me was really wishing you would have, like, just one day wake up and all your games were gone. And you're just like, no!
Yeah, that would be hilarious. But what's funny is, like, we enjoyed the system, but my parents started playing a racing game and like we couldn't get the system away from them. So like it ended up being more theirs than ours at the end of the day because we would like literally go to bed at like 9 o'clock and they'd still be playing.
Oh, that's funny. You know, yeah. I actually remember my cousin got a Sega. This is funny because I wasn't even going to tell this story, but it jogged my memory. My cousin got a Sega CD for Christmas as well one year. And for some reason, his parents bought him Night Trap.
Oh my God.
So we're playing on this big screen TV, like Christmas Day, you know what I mean? And I had never played Sega CD. This is the first time I see it. We're playing this big screen, and we didn't understand what was happening, so we ended up quitting. But that could have gone like a whole lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And thankfully we weren't into the game, so we just didn't play it. I forget what game we ended up playing on the Sega CD. It was some other FMV game. But that also kind of reminds me, like, Sega CD is a pretty disappointing system for the game it has.
Yeah, like, I was going to ask, like, what 8 games, like?
Yeah, oh, man. Sewer Shark, they had a Criss Cross game.
Oh.
Where you could make your own music video. Was it a platformer? No. You, like, took scenes and stuff and you cut your own music video together. That was weird.
That sounds like something I'd be intrigued with if I was, you know, a kid.
Right now, it'd actually probably be really funny and entertaining to try to do. The game that took my parents away, though, was like this Jaguar game. It was a racing game, like Jaguar 20XJ or something. And like, it was just racing, but like, it was one of the better games on it.
Yeah, I have to feel like Sonic CD is like easily the standout of the Sega CD.
Yeah.
Virtual Fighter was pretty sweet too.
Oh, yeah. Sonic CD was the game, I think, in one head.
Yeah.
I definitely remember after leaving his house, like, I didn't want a Sega CD anymore. Like, I was definitely like, okay with that, you know, after that.
If I ever want to play this again, I'll just return.
Yeah. So I think like my like most fond memory would have to be when I got my Super Nintendo for Christmas. And now it was 1991 and I actually waited in line for the Super Nintendo with my dad. And it was going to, you know, and it was like a Christmas present after that, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I had like a lot of anticipation of just kind of waiting to get this new Mario game. And I was like 7, I think 6 in 1991. Yeah, 6. And it was just like so much hype. It was like the massive amount of hype. And my parents being kind of jackasses, in my opinion on this, they actually kind of like, they hid it because they knew, I knew I was getting it. So they hid the present away and it wasn't under the tree. So I got done unwrapping all my presents and then I didn't get my Super Nintendo. And so they were just like, they kind of like tried to play it off and like, what, I don't know, what, these are all your presents, like no joke. And I kind of, until I got like legitimately upset, like I kind of like started to tear up. And like, cause you know, I was like doing that thing where you're a kid where you're like.
You get all the way to the end, man.
Well, yeah, I'm doing that thing where you're a kid where you're like super happy about Christmas. You know what I mean? And you're grateful and you know you're grateful and you can't, you're grateful, you're happy. But at the same time, you're disappointed, you know, like, but you know, you can't be.
You got a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, you're not going to straight up be like, oh, man, but you're sitting there with a frown on your face.
Exactly. Like, I wasn't trying to be a dick about it, but, you know, I don't know what even happened. Like, did I think, like, I just imagined the waiting in line for the Super Nintendo, like, too? But yeah, then they finally gave it to me and I spent the rest of the day and Christmas break playing, just Mario World and Pilot Wings. It was incredible. The Super Nintendo, I still have it. It's super yellow now and it's like chipped in a few places. It's lived in like, I don't know, probably like 10 states at this point.
Traveled the world, man.
But yeah, I still have that Super Nintendo. I love that bad boy. So, shout out to that Super Nintendo right there.
Man, that's super. That reminds me a lot. So my dad absolutely loved to fuck with me anytime he gave me a present. Like if he was giving me a gift, he was taking the opportunity to like, I don't know, just poke fun at me or do something stupid. He liked to mess around. So
who would want to poke fun at you, X-Water?
Exactly, right? So on, he's done it my whole life. And then we fast forward to grade 9. I think when did the Nintendo Wii come out? 2006?
2007.
Yeah.
2007. Yeah, yeah. So right around there. And the Nintendo Wii was coming out. And my dad, every time, like, I've learned his tricks at this point. I know he has the present. He's just not telling me so he can fake it on the actual day. Anyway, Christmas Day comes around. And same as you, Pooh, I open up all the presents. There's no Nintendo Wii. I already have Twilight Princess. Like, I've already bought it myself. Like, I'm ready to jam it in the console and go. And then, like, it turns out he actually couldn't find it because the Nintendo Wii was super...
Yeah.
That, That thing was sold out everywhere.
Yeah. I camped out for that one.
Yeah, me too.
It was the last day of Christmas break after that. And my dad actually, like, dude, every morning this guy would call every store. He'd be like, yo, Walmart, you got any? You got any shipments? Tell me, I'll slip you $5. Like, he was trying to bribe the dudes at Walmart. He's like, I give you $5 extra. But no, he gets it on the last day of Christmas break and I'm just thrilled, man. And I was playing it in the living room on the big screen and it's like midnight. My mom's like, you go to school tomorrow. My dad's like, just turn the volume down when she goes to bed. It's super clutch.
Awesome. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The Wii, like that was a really interesting time because that was the first time a Nintendo console, in my experience, was like really, really hard to get for the holiday season.
Yeah, it was like, it may be even harder than the NES and SNES Mini.
The Wii was, man, that was gangbusters. That was like the, because that wasn't just like,
it was a sleeper.
It wasn't just a hot console. It was a sleeper. The GameCube sold like modestly, so they didn't like, they weren't ready for the shipment or for the massive amount. Kind of similar to the Switch, I would say, like the Wii U to the Switch, transition. Yeah. But
and for the price, everybody wanted to play living room tennis.
Yeah, it was cheap. Right. That was the other thing. The Wii was cheap. I think it was $200, wasn't it?
It was $200. Yeah. Cheaper than the other consoles.
Still like $150 now.
Yeah.
It had a game with
it. Had the motion controls.
And the game that it came with it was like a game that like your grandma could play. Like literally you could bust it out at Christmas and the entire family could play. So I think it was like the Tickle Me Elmo of that year. I think that the Tickle Me Elmos, there's always like one toy.
I think that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, there's always like one toy. And when we were growing up, it was the Tickle Me Elmo was like the first time I can remember like the, you know, it was like the massive toy that nobody could get. And
yeah, it was on Good Morning America.
You had to set up deals to get a tickle.
Yeah, like now, last year was the Hatchimals, you know, or Hatchimals or whatever. So, but yeah, that year it was the Nintendo.
What is it this year?
I don't know what it is this year.
This year's the Switch.
Is it the Switch? It might be the Switch, but I feel like
it's not the easiest to get. I know that. I know some people are still having trouble.
Yeah.
I got lucky, man. They had plenty for me.
It's not the hardest.
Yeah. I feel like the Switch is around. Like, they ramped up production on that pretty heavy.
Yeah. Like, I walked into a Target back in October or November, and there was, like, 15 of them. So, if your parents weren't able to find you a Switch this year, and they claimed that it was stock issues, they just don't love you.
Did you know the Switch already almost outsold the Wii U, by the way? It's a couple million off, man.
It's going to get there.
Yeah, I have no doubt it's going to outsell the Wii U.
By the end of its first year, for sure. Probably by the end of the holiday season.
You know what I think it's going to do, too? I don't know if it's going to get all the way up to Wii numbers, but its software attach rate is going to be a lot higher than the Wii was. That's
yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
Yeah, they're. I mean,
I'm
people
still
are
amazed that we went
games
from a gamepad size device to the Switch size. And the gamepad wasn't even the game console.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the gamepad was huge.
Yeah. I mean, the Switch is just, we talked about it so many times, though. It's just, it's a sexier console than the Wii U was. The Wii U felt like a toy.
So nice.
The Wii felt like a toy to some degree, you know?
Yeah.
And that's because it kind of was, though. Like, you had to be able to, like, drop it and not break it.
Yeah. Maybe that's, I guess that has something to do with the Wii U, where it's like, the Switch feels like technology, you know? So.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They said they got a younger team to work on it.
That's true.
Yeah. I have another good story about Christmas. And this one probably isn't as happy as the ones we have told so far.
Oh.
Sad take. Yeah. Sad take, no. Not really sad take. It's just like, it's not like the classic like happy Christmas story, I guess. It's kind of funnier. When OOT came out, I saved, I went and pre-ordered OOT from GameStop, like the first time I saw it in Nintendo Power. And so I was 11 when I pre-ordered it, right? And I know it's probably younger than that. I was probably like 10 when I pre-ordered it. It was like $10, really hard to get when you're 10 years old. And I think it came out when I was 13. What year did OOT come out? This is going to bother me. I think the years
97,
right? 97. So 12.
NC4 came out 96.
Yeah, so 12. Yeah. So I was 12 years old. So I pre-ordered it. I waited the longest time. So I pre-ordered when the N64 came out. Waited the longest time. It got delayed. You know, it kept getting delayed. And then it finally is coming out. And I didn't have the money to pay for it. So I told my mom, like, hey, you should roll this into my Christmas and let me get this game. And she interpreted it as, okay, I'll get you this game for Christmas. But I interpret it as, like, no, you're taking this out of my Christmas. You know, like I'm putting that on loan. You know what I mean? Like, I'm getting an advance right. on Christmas this year because this is the only thing I want, this gold edition of OOT. And so she goes and gets it. She pays $50. And then she comes home, and I'm like, where's the game? And she's like, well, you don't get it till Christmas. It's your Christmas present. I want you to have things to open on Christmas. And this did not sit well with me. So at first, I kind of thought she was joking, and I thought she was going to give it to me in a little bit, you know? So I kind of nagged her, and I kept nagging her. And then I realized she was serious, and this kind of became war to me. Because, A, I put $10 into this, which at that point in time in my life was, like, an astronomical amount of money. And
it's a big investment, yeah.
B, I had been waiting for so long. But C, most importantly, literally everybody else was playing it that I knew, so I was going to get spoiled. Like, there was no way I was going to be able to keep up. And
yeah.
It became, like, a war between me and my mom, and it was a massive, massive issue the entire weekend. Like, every time she was around, I just nagged her about it and said something smart-ass. I was being a little dick about it, for sure. But finally, it ended with me just saying something and her being silent and silent and silent, and then finally, she lost it, flipped out, goes to her car, pulls it out of the trunk, comes back in, and literally throws it at me. Like, throws it, just tosses it at me. It kind of hurt, but then I thought to myself, cool. And I went upstairs.
You're sitting there like, so I win.
Yeah, I know this is like the shittiest fucked up story, and it's part of the reason why I'm so scared to have kids is because they do something horrible like that. But at the same time, like, looking back on my life now and how it ended up, I feel like, you know, she was stifling me if she didn't give it to me. So I needed that. I needed that game. That's not necessarily the best Christmas story, but it is. It did happen.
Do you think you enjoyed that game more because of that story?
No, I felt guilty. I immediately felt guilty. Oh. Like, after...
I probably ruined the experience for you.
Well, like, up until Adult Link. Like, by then I got over it. You know what I mean? Like, remake up. Yeah, like...
Whoa, this sword's so
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it was like... Then I started to enjoy it. But, like, no, the first couple dungeons, I definitely was like... I don't know. I felt guilty the first couple dungeons, for sure. But I got over it.
Nice.
Yeah. And OOT still to this day is one of my all-time favorite games and one of my favorite playthroughs I've ever had of a game. So it obviously didn't ruin it that much.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the only other story I can think of is getting, like, GoldenEye for Christmas. And that was, like, that was a game I had already played, so I knew what it was and, like, that I wanted it. But I got that for Christmas and just, like, me and my brother shooting each other for, you know, 12 hours that day and then another 24 hours the next day, essentially, and just continuing to murder each other in GoldenEye and then friends coming over. Like, that game got a lot of play in the house.
Yeah, that's what was awesome about, like, getting a sweet game for Christmas as a kid. Like, because that's the only game you had. So it's like you just play it and play it and play it. And yeah. You never stop because it's just so awesome.
You know, I remember another story now, too, though. I went and I got money for, you know, whatever, just a bunch of money from family and stuff. And we went to KB Toys.
Ooh,
the South Park video game.
Yeah.
Was new.
The 64 South Park game?
Yes.
Yeah.
And like, so I'm like, oh, shooter. Well, yeah, South Park's funny. I like to watch that show. I'm a kid. I'm going to buy this. It was rated M, and they sold it to me. Like, my mom wasn't there. I get home, and I start playing it, and I'm like, this is a really shitty game. So I'm like, I got to return this. I got to get rid of this game. And, like, I go and try to return it. They're like, no refunds on open games. I'm like, well, that's bullshit. So I tell my mom, I'm like, hey, mom, they sold me this M-rated game.
Ooh.
And she takes it to the store and she yells at him for like 30 minutes. And she comes back and she's got my money back. And it was amazing. But that happened right
after
Christmas.
A mastermind from the ripe young age of childhood. I actually didn't catch the number there.
Jakku's been working the system since a young age.
Definitely.
And while his mom was arguing with staff, Jakku found the nearest terminal. Yeah.
But yeah, that was quite the experience.
I actually have one more kind of ironic one. So I was in high school, and the Xbox had just come out. And I had a PlayStation 2 at the time and a GameCube. And then there was the Xbox that came out. And my aunt gets me Madden for Xbox. And I look at her and I was like, oh, you know, thank you so much. I really appreciate this. But, you know, I have a PlayStation, so we can take it back and I'll, you know, and I'll get the game for PlayStation. Like, this is super nice. I'm really appreciative of it. I didn't want an Xbox at all anyway. I said that. I was like, I don't want an Xbox. Mm-hmm. The very next present I opened from my aunt is an Xbox. Oh. Which is like, oh, man, that's like beyond an aunt present. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's like absolutely. Your aunt was like, yo, I am spoiling my nephew this year. She was trying to get mad at aunt points that year. I don't know what happened. Yeah. She got like I was the person that she decided to bless that year. And I was thought I was being really nice about it. You know what I mean? And
right.
I ended up being like, I guess, man, looking back on it, I was a little dick at Christmas, I guess, you know?
Yeah. It seems like you have more bad ones than good ones.
Yeah. Well, like hindsight, I really was appreciative that she got me the Xbox because I loved Halo. Like, I ended up just absolutely falling in love with Halo. Halo was, like, such a better game than I ever thought it could be, the original Halo. And, yeah, but, I mean, it's just really
funny.
Do you
think she took it serious, though? Do you think she maybe thought that you were trying to save face and be like, or, like, make her feel better? Like, oh, hey, I really like this game, but, you know, I don't have an Xbox, and I don't even want an Xbox, you know, to... So.
Yeah, I don't even want it anyway, you know? I got PlayStation.
I could see
her
thinking, like, oh, he's just trying to make that so I feel, you know, better about the mistake I made.
Maybe. I've never asked her about that one, though. I mean...
We're gonna have to get a special podcast. Yes.
You know, yeah, no, trust me. We're not having that aunt on this podcast. So
I bet you she just remembers you enjoying the gift. I bet you she doesn't even remember you saying that.
Oh, I hope so. That'd be a lot better than actually having that. I don't know. I want this guilt wiped off me, is what I'm saying. I want this guilt and shame to leave me. So
all right, what about this year? Is there any, like, Christmas gift you're super stoked to get or to give this year?
Ooh. Okay. That's okay. A tough one. Okay. So I hope she can't hear me right now, but yeah.
Hush, hush.
I got my wife this. So my wife loves gardening. Like, she's obsessed. Bitch loves gardening. I don't know.
flowers
and
shit.
Yeah, and she loves flowers and making, you know, eating her own vegetables out of her garden, you know, and, like, spending way more money on dirt and seeds and time and effort than it would cost to just go get a freaking zucchini and all that stuff. But I got her this, like, indoor, like, it's like a, I don't know, foot-by-foot, like, kind of, like, indoor garden system where she can grow, like, tomatoes or basil or, you know, whatever she wants. And it's really easy, and it's supposed to be really fast, but she can do it all year long is the whole point. And I'm really excited about it because she has no idea what it is, I'm pretty sure. And it's going to be fucking awesome. She's going to love it. Yes.
That's really cool.
Yes. You guys?
Man.
Oh,
XWAR, you go.
Man, honestly, I feel like I did a decent job choosing my gifts. Mm-hmm. None of them I'm like super, super like waiting to see the react. Actually, you know what? One of them, I got a really sweet mechanical keyboard for Steve's girlfriend. Ooh. And I think she's going to be super, super down with it because she's been starting to play a lot more Dota with Steve now. Mm. Yeah, so I think she's going to really like it. It's like one of those really small ones, so it's great for coding too. And she's about to finish up her comp sci degree. Mm. Yeah.
Is there anything you guys are looking like would want to get this year?
Yo, second Nintendo Switch dock.
Really?
yeah. I told my mom, man. She's like, what do I get you for Christmas? I'm like, here, I'll send you a picture.
Oh, that's not that bad.
That's actually a good idea, actually. I could totally use that too now that I think about it.
I mean, I got two Switches in the house.
Yeah, well, I want to be able to like play Mario Kart with my buddies, but also not have to move my stream setup.
I actually have three Switches in my house, which is funny, but I still could use one more dock in my bedroom, which is... But yeah,
the portable docks that third parties are coming out with are getting really good.
Yeah, there's a Yoko one or something like that.
Oh, that's what
right?
I would like. Like a portable dock. I didn't even think about that. That'd be really nice.
I looked into the reviews on that a little bit. It seemed like one in like eight people was like pretty peeved about it or something. But otherwise, it seemed like, I don't know, you had to do like a firmware update was the thing. You had to like, it wasn't just like plug it in and use it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to get the nice regular one. It's a present anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
But yeah. That's mine.
Like for my stuff, I just kind of get things throughout the year. So I don't really.
Yeah. When you're an adult, you kind of just
get it's hard.
The things you need slash want when you need slash want them.
Yeah. I think that's what makes it so fun though when you're an adult, when you do get something really cool. Like my wife has gotten me like every year since we've been together, she's gotten me like something completely nerdy or video gamey or like just like a game, you know, like a board game or something that I would never buy myself. But she's dope. Like, I could, like, RC cars, you know what I mean? Like, something stupid like that. Like, last year she got me drones, which was, like, a bunch of mini drones and then one big one. But she got me the mini ones so I could practice, you know? And I loved that. It was so much fun. And I would have never bought that for myself, you know? So I think, like, things like that are always really cool, you know? Something you don't know you want, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, when you get surprised by one, you're like, damn, this was good.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, I like that. That's hard, though, to really think of what that would do for me, like what sort of surprise I would be like, oh, man, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of something awesome, last week we started a giveaway for Polybridge and Carried Away. And to enter, you just had to ask us a question, which is something we ask you guys to do every week. We got a lot of entries, and so we got a lot of questions. Some good ones, some short ones, some long ones. You know, nothing bad, just interesting, I guess, all in all, but tons of them. So we don't have enough time to answer all these questions, but we're going to answer two emails, and then I'm going to run through just real quick some of the questions we got for now before the giveaway ends.
Okay. Let's rapid fire these bad boys.
Let's fire them off.
All right. This one comes from Tyler. Do you guys have any white whale games? That is, games that you always wanted to speedrun but haven't gotten around to because of the time to learn, difficulty, availability, audience, etc.
Yes.
Yes, I haven't learned Super Mario Sunshine or Galaxy 2 yet, and that's just because I'm still playing Odyssey and I got to do some more 64.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it will probably always be Super Metroid. I've well publicly said Super Metroid's my favorite speedrun to watch. It still is my favorite speedrun to watch. I think it's just it's an incredible game. It's super technical, and I'm so scared to even like play it casually at this point, because I don't know. It's a white whale game for me, and I love it. And also Mario 64 and Sunshine are both games that I would really love to run, but just never see myself getting around to doing. Another one though is like Mario 2, and that's one I really want to bang out. In 2018, because it's actually a pretty quick game and it's full of like really cool little tricks that you wouldn't really see it makes Mario 2 look pretty fun, which I don't think
it actually is pretty cool. Really, I've watched a good chunk of Mario 2.
I think it's one of the best Mario speedruns because it's so fast, and B, it has no RNG at all. Like, there's no RNG. It's pretty much always the
that's
same
nice
thing. Yeah, so
I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I think like early childhood, that was the game that I would play all the time and try to beat as fast as possible. Never called it speed running, just was like, well, I'll try to beat Mario 2 again.
Yeah.
And it was just so easy. For me, I was thinking that it would be something, oh man, I had it. Completely lost. Link to the Past.
Link to the Past. Okay, there you go. Like, Link to the Past randomizer, because I want to do randomizers.
But yeah, like Link to the Past I want to do, but I also, like original, I also don't want to lose the, like, I loved that game as a kid, and I don't know. I really liked how it was, and I've seen some of the Japanese runs and stuff because that's what people do, and there's so many bugs and glitches, and I'm just like, I don't know if I want to, like, see the game in that light.
Yeah, and once you do it, like, that's the thing. Like, once you speedrun, there's no, like, not doing those tricks, you know?
Right.
There just isn't. Just not. Like, people always say that. Oh, can you enjoy a game casually? It's like, yeah, I can still enjoy playing the game casually, but it's just a bad run. I don't know. Like, does that make sense at that point? I can enjoy having a bad run. Like, I still enjoy playing the game, but, like, you can't not do the tricks once you know them. So, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next question comes from Limity1603. Hi guys, I've been really enjoying Grand Pooh Bear's Getting Over It YouTube videos.
Hey.
As an educator, I'm really interested in different people's response to failure and how it can ultimately lead to success. My question is this: Do you think everybody has the ability to overcome frustration and ultimately achieve their goal in a game? Or is there a skill barrier that could lead to even the more determined players permanently stuck and frustrated?
I mean, I don't think everybody can. I mean, I think obviously, like, not everybody can overcome frustration. I think we all have a breaking point for different activities in our ability, but like our want or desire to push ourselves. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's like exercise or, in this case, video games, or, you know, for other people, school, or, you know, professional things. I think, yeah, I'm not sure that that is something that everybody possesses, and I'm not sure I possessed it necessarily 5 years ago. I don't think if I played Kaizo games or getting over it before I had my injury that I was as patient as I am now or as accepting of things I'm not good at yet as I am now, if that makes sense, you know? So I think it can be learned or adapted to, you know what I mean? But I think you have to be in the right mindset. I don't know. That's tough, yeah.
Yeah, I also feel like it kind of varies based on how much you want whatever it is you failed at achieving. You know, if I want to run a mile in under a certain mm-hmm. amount of time and I don't get it, I might quit sooner. But if I set my heart on some other goal that I'm really dedicated toward, I might fail hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. But if I really want it, I'll keep going. And I feel like that's kind of mm-hmm. what it is with us a lot. We just have a really, I don't like being beaten by a video game. I've never liked it, you know? The part of the whole reason I started playing video games my whole life is because I was the 5 year younger sibling when we played those games of Smash Bros. And GoldenEye when we were kids. You know, I didn't have the brain development to keep up when I was like 7 and everyone was 12. So I'm like, no, I want to win. I got to get better. So I wasted my life playing video games and here I am, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now Steve can't beat me in Smash Bros. That's for sure.
I think that desire thing, though, really, really matters, like you said. Like, yeah. I there's definitely games where I'm over it faster than other ones. And then there's other games, like the Dram 2, when it came out, like, I knew before it came out, I was like, I have to get the world record in this because I had the world record in Dram 1, and there was nothing that was going to stop me. You know, like, it didn't matter what anybody else would have gotten. I would have played until I beat them. And yeah, I don't know. I think that's, now that I have it, I'm like, whatever, someone beats it, I don't know if I care anymore. But at that point in time, in that moment, you know, now that I've had it for a couple months, it doesn't mean as much. But I don't know. Like, it just wasn't going to happen. So, I think that, whereas, like, for other games, you know, I don't have that necessarily desire to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care about the world record in Mario Odyssey, you know? I just care about getting certain goal times for myself personally. But I'm not going to, like, break my back over it. Whereas the other ones, yeah, I take a lot more seriously, you know? I don't know. Yeah, yeah. I think that's a good point. The one desire for it.
Yeah, I think that helps a lot. Yeah. If you have a desire for it, you get more frustrated. But if you're just doing it casually and, like, using Mario Maker levels, grinding as an example, like, at the end of the day, it's just a level. Yes, you want to get it. And, like, sometimes you get very invested. Mm-hmm. And so you get a little bit more frustrated every now and then. But overall, if you're just, like, going through and you're just trying for the fun of it, you're just like, yeah, whatever. It's nothing. It's like water mm-hmm. right off a duck's back. with that, we're going to go do four questions.
Rapid fire questions, right?
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Four quick rapid fire questions from the giveaway. One from each one right now.
All right.
Okay.
First one. What is the first video game that you've ever 100% completed?
Sonic 2. You call that rapid fire?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to think.
I'm Linked to the Past.
Yeah, I guess, it'd probably be Mario World, honestly. But mm-hmm. the funny thing about that is I never thought that I had completed it all because it says 96 because it's the number of exits you have. And not 100.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I probably unknowingly, you know, completed that 100% and just didn't.
You sat there looking for those last four and you're like, come on.
Well, I didn't even realize it was exits. Like, I was getting dragon coins and, like, everything. Uh-huh. Like, I got everything I felt like in that game. I didn't know until I started streaming that's what the 96 meant. I even have my original Mario, like, my original cartridge with my, like, old school like day one like file on it. You know, I never erased it.
That's legit.
So yeah, I guess that would probably be it, but unknowingly done that. Yeah. And then the first one I knowingly did that like I was really proud of was Grand Theft Auto 3.
Oh man, that's a good one.
Yeah, that was a lot, but I was obsessed.
All right, next question. How much are you enjoying recording the podcast?
Right now?
Just in general, I guess. I don't know. It doesn't say right now.
Love it.
Just, it's great.
8 out of 9.
It's 8 out of 9. What kind of scale is that? Oh, it's Canada. It's less.
Everything's different here.
Yeah. No, it's great. It gives me, Poo, and X-Water a chance to talk for like 1 hour to 2 hours each week.
Yeah.
And catch
that
up.
That is kind of the best part about it. It's just like we're hanging out.
Yeah, I love getting to bullshit with you guys, and it's another outlet. It's really fun.
Yep.
Can I say more than I thought I would, too, when we originally had the idea? Yeah, like,
I mean, I was scared at first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like, do I have enough to talk to Poo about for an hour?
turns out we have enough to talk about for like 5 hours every week, and we have to cut it down.
I thought I was going to be like dragging you down. Because, but we're good. All right. Next question. What is the one game series that you don't enjoy at all?
I'm assuming that other people do enjoy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I know I have an Kingdom answer Hearts. For this.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't like Kingdom Hearts at all. Or Final Fantasy.
Interesting.
You know what? Yeah. I think mine's actually also Final Fantasy. Yeah.
Oh. Ooh, okay, see, I like Final Fantasy. I'm not like a diehard, I need to play Final Fantasy 15 right now, or 14, or 13. Okay, I guess I'm not really a big fan of Final Fantasy. I don't hate it. I think it's fun. It just, most of those games aren't for me. But yeah, Final Fantasy or Kingdom Hearts, I would say Kingdom Hearts between that, because I've never played one.
I liked Kingdom Hearts. I only played the first one so far. I feel like they got really weird with it. It's like Kingdom Hearts 1.6, also there's 17.9 days.
It's a great series, I'm told, but I have no interest in it. I'll play a Final Fantasy
game. I've never been interested in Disney either. That was a turnoff for me.
Yeah. All right. Last question is, where is it?
Man, thinking about it, I don't know if I like any Square games that are like Squaresoft best.
Oh, there's definitely like past, some good
like,
ones.
I'm trying to think of like the last one I really enjoyed. I don't know. I love Chrono Trigger, but... like, past the SNES, I don't know if there's a lot that I really enjoyed. Yeah, I like Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Bravely Default was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, that looked cool.
I guess I didn't play it.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Final Fantasy VII Remake.
I think I'm going to play that, because I never actually finished VII, like, the original, so that's going to be my first way to go through it fully.
Yeah, that'd be cool. All right.
No spoilers, guys.
Ooh, you snowboard at some point.
Yeah.
That's rad.
Last question is, what is your favorite extra challenge in a game that the player gives himself, like Grid Challenge and Polybridge?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh, that is.
Favorite extra challenge. You know what? Mine's going to be a shout out to Rezzy Fos. He's doing Super Mario World low percent, 90 exit, like doing as many levels in Super Mario World as you can, being small. And that is just the coolest thing to me.
So, I mean, is that your favorite challenge for you? I think it's more so what is your favorite challenge to do?
Oh, yeah, because that's my favorite one just in general. Yeah. But yeah, I couldn't pull that off. No, to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I used to like
Zelda 3 Hearts.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's a good one. I was going to say, I'm going back to Grand Theft Auto, like any of them, but getting the full stars with only like a normal gun, like a normal automatic gun to start off with.
Nice.
Like not, you know, you're not fully loaded at all, and you kind of just have to go through and wreck house and avoid cops.
Nice. Yeah. I used to do Need for Speed Hot Pursuit style games, all of those. I used to play some of the matches or the challenges with my eyes closed, trying to evade the police. And it sounds ridiculous.
It does.
But this one time, I beat it in like 14 seconds. And I have no idea what I did because I was blindfolded. Well, my eyes were closed. And I could never even get close to that when I could see.
Okay, I got one more good one that I just remembered too. So me and my brother would play Super Mario World, but whenever you beat a level, you get to impose a new rule. And whenever you break the rule, you have to take a drink. And this was just our excuse to get drunk really fast. So like the first three levels are super easy until you no longer are allowed to play with your like, you know, with your thumbs or until you have to be like wearing goggles filled with water while you're playing.
I really like that idea. And I think we might do that at Mario Maker Coliseum next year.
Yeah.
I actually
I'll get out my old notebook challenge.
Yeah. I really like that idea. That's really funny.
Can I just say that the hot cold challenge, as ridiculous as of a challenge it was at MMC, that was, I think the chat loved that a lot more than anyone thought.
Yeah.
Dude, I was miserable during it because you guys are like, yeah, you want to do a super expert now? And I'm sitting there literally with numb feet. Like my desire to say yes is at zero.
The people wanted it.
But I do want to take credit for the fact that I managed to actually clear that super expert level with my feet submerged in ice and oven mitts on my hands.
That was pretty impressive. I'm not going to lie. I was impressed by that, and I was impressed by the blindfolded one because both teams were really impressive.
You want to know what, too? Mine and Steve's Super Mario World drinking game is why I was good at that.
Yeah. That's what it reminded me of.
You were preparing for that your whole life, you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Cool. Well, again, we want to wish all of you guys an extremely happy holiday. We wish nothing but the best for you heading into the new year. We'll be back with one more episode here in 2017, the last episode of 2017, the year of the fuck? Like, that's a... And we'll definitely be... reviewing some of the more fun and crazy gaming news this year and our thoughts on it and just our years in general for next week's episode. But we want to wish you guys a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, happy Merry Christmas Kwanzaa, Christmas Hana Kwanzaa,
and a happy Festivus
to the rest of us.
Whatever it is you celebrate, just you know celebrate. Spend time with your friends, your family, your online friends, your whoever it is you want. But, you know, go out and be with people you like and love this holiday. So thank you guys again for supporting us. We greatly appreciate it. Gentlemen, where can we find you at on this beautiful holiday right now?
Somewhere on the internet.
The North Pole.
I'll tell you what. If you're getting a little bored on one of these nice cold nights, you know, pull up a little bit of hot cocoa. Maybe get a nice little blanket. Wrap yourself up. Cocoon. Turn on X-Water on YouTube. Get that new Phoenix Wright Lawyer series. It's a thriller.
Oh my God.
That's a good, I like that. I'm going to watch that series, actually.
I'm taking advantage of those 14 seconds.
I like that series. I'm going to watch that series.
Oh, man, it's actually been so much fun, but I won't gush now.
Okay, well, yeah, we got to find out on the internet, you know?
Yes.
Exactly.
you can find me at the North Pole. I'll be making presents for Santa all weekend, so that's where I'll be. Anyway, guys, thank you all so much. Get your questions in, more emails, always at podcast@warp.world. Obviously, you're finding us right now if you're hearing this, but you can tell your friends to go to podcast.warp.world. And we will see you guys next week for our year-end special.
Bye, everybody.
Feliz Navidad.
Merry Christmas. Thank you guys again for joining us this week on the Warp World Podcast. We really hope you guys have a Merry Christmas, a wonderful Happy Holidays, a freaking awesome New Year. We'll be back next week with our year-end review. Again, check us out on the Warp World Podcast at podcast.warp.world or email us at podcast@warp.world. See you next week.